Good to be with you all. I'm Carl Rico. This is my wife, Ruth Rico. Wanted to start thinking this evening in terms of transitions by an introduction from one of the least read books in the Bible, but one of the probably the most familiar passages from the Old Testament. As I'm reading this, if you just think Peter, Paul, Mary humming in the background. Okay. For everything, there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. Time for war and time for peace. That's from Ecclesiastes 3. And that's the simple part, to know which of those times you're in, on which side. The hard part is what we want to deal with this weekend, is how to move from one to the other. And that's what we're calling transitions. And I'd like to balance that with one other reading, this time from the New Testament, of an event which has shaped our thinking, shaped the thinking of Christendom, and particularly Western Christendom, as much as any other event in our Christian history. It's from Acts 1, and it's the beginning. You know, Acts is the second half of Luke. This is really Luke 2. And it's the beginning of our story, really. First chapter, verse 6. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to heaven? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. And then he ascended. And that ascension has probably shaped our perception more of how things work in this world than almost any other event. Because it says he was here and he's coming again. And the next time is the last time. And we are. Our whole life is learning how to live in the in-between time as Christians. How to live in that in-between time. He was here, and the next time he comes is going to be the last time, and we're in between. And we don't know how long that's going to be. We happen to serve overseas, and the people we worked with thought like this. And it really struck me at that point how we think like this. Okay, God created, our Lord came, the next time he comes is the last time. So we think like that. So that's what we're going to talk about with each other this weekend, is the in-between time, the time of transition. And by way of introducing ourselves, I'm going to just give a little bit of our history. Not so much our history as just who we are, and that'll clue you as to what our transitions have been, so this can be more of a dialogue than a cognitive lecture. Our life together started out overseas in Papua New Guinea, and that was during the time of the Vietnam War here in the States. So we left this country in '66 and came back in 72, the beginning of 72, and didn't have a clue why people were thinking the way they were. We didn't come home when we came back to the States because of what had happened between 66 and 72. After we came back, I was asked to be on the faculty of a seminary in St. Louis, and I got the last seat on the Titanic because that denomination blew up about 14 months after we got here. So then I was on the Seminex faculty for 11 years. After that, mainly in administration. I was director of placement, helping students make the transition from seminary into the field in a hostile environment at that time. And I was also a director of field work and contextual education. That was until 83, and when my faculty deployed, I decided that I didn't want to go to LSTC in Chicago or to PLTS in Berkeley. And so the next move, transition, was I was on the staff of a large congregation in St. Louis, but at the same time started my own consultancy in career planning and organizational development. And did then and now, working with a lot of people in transition, especially career transition. And then in 87, we moved to Chicago, and I continued consulting as an interim pastor, but also with several divisions at the ELCA. Last year they asked me to come on full time, and that was split between the Division for Global Mission and the Department for Human Resources. And I decided this year I wanted more time for consulting, so I asked to be cut back to 3.5 days, and they just asked me to come back again, more or less full time. So what I do there is work with development, designing a training program for the churchwide staff for the next 3 years at the National Lutheran Building in Chicago. And then in the Division for Global Mission, I screen people for overseas before they leave. But the main part of me that plays into what we're talking about this weekend is I do a reentry workshop for missionaries 3 times a year. And that's with people who have been gone for anywhere from 40 years to 18 months, 24 months. So that's my background.
Okay, and I'm Ruth, and my background, of course, you heard part of it through his story, but I do have a few lines of my own story to tell. I am a social worker by training, and so I have, in my professional life, always worked with people who are in one kind of transition or another, but I didn't know that in those particular terms at the early years of my career. When Carl was going through his journey through Seminex, I was beginning to adjust to life in the U.S. and started teaching nursery school. After 4 years of that, I said, this is not what I went to school to learn how to do. It was not a pleasant career choice for me, and I started a hospice program. So I was dealing for 4 years with people who were in their ultimate transition and with their families who were adjusting to their loved ones' last days. Then I had enough of that personally because of some organizational transition in the hospital that I worked with, and went to the opposite end of the spectrum and dealt with people who were pursuing living a long time. I worked for an organization that dealt with wellness programs. And following that, I went back into doing some things with older people again, and took a position at the end of 1987 with the ELCA, and started on January 4th, 1988, as Director for Human Resources with the Division for Social Ministry Organizations of the ELCA. And so I also work with people who are looking for career changes within the 300 or so social ministry organizations of the ELCA. I've been in one form or another of work with that division for 4 years, and then the division changed its name, and we went through another restructuring within the new ELCA. And so now I am stayed with that position, that organization, the longest of any in my career, almost 5 years now, and I've had 3 jobs since I've been in that position. So one of the things that Carl and I have done together is work with church professionals in career transitions through a program for 3 years called Options. And so some of us, some of you may have heard of people who participated in that. It started out being only for clergy, but then it broadened into a number of other people in church professions. So we have continued to pursue what it means to be in the in-between times, personally and with a lot of other people who are journeying with us. We feel really privileged to be here during Lent. Lent is a journeying time, and for us to be together talking about this is, I think, rather significant to be doing this right now. For those of us who came up on the bus this morning or this afternoon, I think our driver set us up for being in this topic because he stopped up here at the stop sign and said, now we've made the transition. But I think that the trip here is a transition out of our, for some of us, out of our busy lives and into coming through this, the beauty that we saw, and coming into a much more isolated place of solitude, so that this is an appropriate topic for us to be considering now. In the literature that you got, you saw that we had a fairly basic goal for all of us during this time, and that's that everybody who's here gain some additional skill in coping with transition. And we recognize that in a group this large, there are going to be as many experiences of transition as there are people here. And so we will not all come out at the same place by any means. We're going to all be continuing on our own our personal, professional, family journeys when we leave here and leave this workshop. But we would like to give you an opportunity now to tell us your name and the reason that you wanted to take this particular workshop. We're going to have time tomorrow to go into sharing in depth a great deal more of our personal stories. Tonight will be a little bit more of a cognitive beginning, so that we'll have the stage set for the rest of the sessions. But I'd like to invite you now to just go one at a time and give us some idea of why you wanted to learn about transitions this weekend.
Let me start.
Sure.
Well, I'm Bert, and I'm actually transitioning two ways. I'm completing a divorce and going into retirement. So I guess I'm kind of, I got two things that I'm working on.
I'm Diane, and I didn't know the word transitions in this framework until last fall when I went to a counselor because I had vision therapy and it's made a life transforming experience for me. And she said, you're in a transition. And there are certain things you do and don't do during transitions. So I very much want to learn more about the whole concept of transitions and how to cope with them. Since then, I've discovered I'm probably in about 2 more transitions. We'll save those.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm Dwight, and our friend Ruth simply invited me. And wanted to come to Holden, and I would have come regardless of the topic.
Well.
But just so that you don't think I'm having some transitions, I just had my 60th birthday, which is the first one in my whole life that has troubled me. Secondly, my mother at 90 has now just gone into a nursing facility, and I'm processing her stuff and some of my life and her. I'm going to retire probably in a year and a half and exploring my relationship with Ruth, so that does suggest I might
I'm Ruth, but I'm not the Ruth that invited him. I invited Ruth. And we were likewise interested in coming because of her son being here, and then we were looking at what things would fit in with our life, and transition seemed really to be the one topic that we wanted to come to, knowing we could only come to one.
I'm Ruth. The third, we got three. I'm the Ruth that invited Dwight after I was invited by my cousin Ruth. So, and then inadvertently the topic was transitions. But when I discovered that, I was very pleased because it seems to me that so much of my life has been in transition in the last 10 years. My husband died about 9.5 years ago, and then that was a period of adjustment. Then I went back to school, and that was a period of adjustment, and then new employment, and changes in family, and daughters-in-law, and new son-in-law, and babies, and new relationship with Dwight now. And so I'm just all ears. I've experienced a lot of it, and I'm sort of still in it.
I'm Dennis. It occurred to me as I saw this workshop advertised that life is a process of change, that we're continually going through many transitions, major transitions, but we're transitioning all the time. And I realized that I'd never stopped to think about the process. I more or less accepted the fact here comes another change, we'll just sort of deal with that. And I thought this would be a good chance to just sort of stop the clock and sit back and reflect a little bit on how we change and how we work with changing times.
My name is Mark, and I don't know any Ruths. I enjoy being at this place, but I also was challenged by the topic. I'm going through a lot of transitions right now in my work life and in my personal life. Having burned out in a very stressful career, trying to find a way I can go back either into that career or something related without making the mistakes over again, and how to maximize the opportunities now instead of being caught up in the molasses of the morass.
To write some of these wonderful phrases and glasses of them
around. My name's Dolores, and I like following Mark because I could just ditto his comment. Burned out of the job after 14 years, high pressure, high stress, high pain, and went from that to unemployment, and ended a relationship, and so two transitions.
I'm Patty, and I came here, or I guess to this seminar, because one thing, I want to get in a job, I'm not happy in it, and I need to make some changes in my personal life in lots of areas. So.
I'm Scott. I live here at Holden, and Holden is a place that attracts many people who are in transition. In fact, one could perhaps say that's a characteristic of our long-term community here, as well as those that come for a short period of time, is that many of them, not all of them, are in transition in their lives. We too have experienced lots of transitions, and we'll be looking for one road here in a couple of years after we end our time.
I'm Jeanette. I guess some of what Scott said was, you know, what I would say. I guess transitions have interested me. Living overseas, we lived with people who were in transition a lot, and the congregation was constantly in transition. Not as much so as we've discovered with people here at Fulton. And personally, I suppose my most recent transitions have been from city life to living overseas, and then adjusting back from living overseas to an isolated area, and what I want the next steps to be. Thank you.
Where was overseas?
Pardon?
Where was overseas?
In Norway.
Hmm. I'm Catherine. I'm in transition because I'll be leaving home in 4 months after being here for 2 years. I came to Holden because I was in transition out of Chicago, where I worked with Carl, and Carl worked with me in terms of where I want to go and helping me do some career planning things, and ended up at Holden, and it has been a wonderful transition, and it's constant here.
I'm Andrea, and I guess I've always been in transition. I guess like everyone else, was a Navy brat, so we moved all the time. You know, 16 schools by the time you get out of high school, and then stayed in one house for 30 years. I mean, that's a transition. And then now, you know, about the time I hit the half century mark, I discovered that I was liberated. I wasn't responsible for anyone but myself, and I've been trying to figure out what to do with my life ever since. And I don't know. Some of the decisions I've made, I kind of like to look back and evaluate and see how I made them and why I made them, and use that as part of my basis for going on. I'm single. I just want to point that out if I'm looking looking for that relationship. That's a real transition. So you guys can help prepare.
My name's Kristen, and well, I'm single too.
Oh yeah.
I'm finishing up my bachelor's degree right now, and that's kind of been a series of transitions, I suppose. I'm studying languages, and I've transferred to universities, and I spent two periods of time abroad, and now I'm looking at what I'm going to do in the post-school stage. So I'm just here. I like Holden, and my dad invited me.
I'm life, I guess. I'm here at least partially because I want to come up during the off-season sometime, and this was kind of a time frame that had in as a healing program, and so that kind of came together nicely. I guess I tend to look at things, and maybe I have not been involved in a lot of transitions recently. I haven't been in the same setting or living in the same community, working in the same place for about 20 years, and maybe looking more towards transitions in the future. Mm-hmm. Coming up here in town. Well, I think earlier time in my life, maybe it's a period of more transitions, and a period 67 to 72, where some people were in New Guinea. Actually, I lived in Vietnam for a couple of years, and I think there was a period there, as I recall, for a period of about 5 years at Christmas, we were in a different country every year. So. Afraid of a lot of transitions earlier, and since that has changed, probably looking more to the future.
Since I'm here at Holden, I really enjoy coming to sessions and learn, and transitions have happened many times in my life, but it has also been like a challenge. Mm-hmm. So, I'm good to know.
Okay.
I'm Sven, and I live at Holden. And when you live in Holden, that's in permanence. So, since you're here, I'm here.
Okay.
My master Scott, and my husband and I will be facing retirement in a few years, or maybe sooner, I don't know. And I just thought this song was awfully interesting, and we were invited by our friends Janice and Priscilla. So we thought it would be a good opportunity to come and see Holden and to take him to
I'm Janice Zira, and I have always wanted to come to Holden, which is one of the main reasons that I'm here, and I think it sounds like an interesting session.
Well, I'm Fritz Zira, and I was trying to get some handles on how to do this, how to say this, but 28 years I was functioning in some capacity or other as a Lutheran minister, a parish or social services or this or that or the other, is always under the title of pastor this or reverend that. And I decided to bag that several years ago, and now I'm a commercial fisherman. And so I'm making the transition to a new kind of life where I only work 3 months or 4 months out of the year instead of 12. And the transition that I am dealing with is into big chunks of unstructured time. And so I want to get some handles on that. And then the other piece of the transition that I look at every year is a geographical transition from being two residents. We live 6 months of the year in Oregon and 6 months of the year in Alaska. And living without roots, I feel like Abraham sometimes. I'm not quite sure where home is. But it's okay. I like to travel. I have kind of a motto that I've been living by. Better to travel expectantly than it is to arrive. And you can write that down. better to travel expectantly than it is to arrive. And I want to check that out and see if that's so. But I'll stop with that.
Okay.
My name is Doug, and I'm here because I'm in transition.
Okay.
My name is Roger, and I just came to Holden to be here for a while, and quit my job, and then changed careers.
Okay. I'm Amy, and I live in Holden. And as people said, that needs transition. I have been here a couple months, and recently was married and left a job, and a lot of changes lately, and then knowing that we'll be here in a couple of years, and then we'll be onto something different.
I'm Steve, and I went through all those transitions with Amy, and I guess for me, one thing I'd add is I've always sensed that I really thrive on the learning curve, so to speak, at least at this time in my life. I'm kind of looking for change, and I'm also, both of us are trying to plan on best our next step from there.
Okay. Good, thank you. That certainly shows that this is... Oh, okay, are you guys...
You're in the group, but not seated here. What?
Okay.
My name is Martin. I just came through a transition where I came to Holden in January, and now I'm deciding on maybe one of three different possible career directions, whether to stay in Holden or to work on the East Coast or to relocate to Seattle. So, like many of you, I'm in transition and just interested to learn what I can here.
Okay.
My name is Vicki, and I actually, for the first time in Florida.
Well, you can certainly tell that there's a variety of transitions, if nothing else.
More.
Do you have a spotlight, Kathy?
This is a Holden phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
My name is Kathy. I live
in
Holden. I'm probably not in transition since I've been here for a year, and I'll be here for another year or so. And I came because I'm interested in the topic, and because of what Sven said. I live here, so I'm here.
Are there other people back there?
Hello.
Yes.
These are the angels.
My name is Nancy. I live in Holden. I've lived here for a while, and I'll be here a while yet. Let's see. My marriage is okay, but I'm waiting for this baby to come. Obviously, it's not coming from me, but we're waiting for this adopted child. So I'd say that's probably my biggest transition.
One other person?
Actually, it's a couple more. There's
some up here who wish to remain.
Okay. Is there anybody else who wishes to speak?
Someone just came in over.
We're saying our name and why we're here, why we're interested in transition.
My name is Terry. I just got a letter, a phone call today that said I can go to graduate school if somebody decides not to go. So it's sort of, maybe I can go, but maybe not.
Mm. Okay. There we go. Well, the purpose of all this, as you can tell, almost all of us are feeling we're in, if not one, multiple transitions at the same time. If you want a score sheet to see where we are in the discussion, take one of those. I don't think there's one for everybody, so
couples could share, that would be nice. That'll kind of show you how we're going along from topic to topic. This was designed, we were thinking there were going to be six sessions, so this was designed for six, and there's going to be five now, so we'll be pulling probably elements from numbers four and five into the second session. We'd like to just tell you three major transitions in our lives, not to give you more of our autobiography especially, but to demonstrate some of the clues of what happens in a classic transition. Probably the major one for me was that move from overseas back to the States after 5 years. We were ready to go overseas, and that was relatively easy, but re-entry was hellish. It was unbelievable and totally unexpected because we had the thought we were coming home. Okay? And that is a characteristic of transitions. It catches you by surprise if you think you're going to make an easy one all the time into something that you're very unfamiliar with. You'll find it will have aspects that don't agree with you. After we got here, the family was in turmoil. Children had never seen snow, had never seen a three-story building, had never seen a train, had to be taught fear because they had not known it for the first 5 years in their life where we lived. One was getting beat up at school. And after we were here a while, I had a new job. Okay. Then the institution blew up, so had to leave that and move into a whole new church. Doing something that I wasn't sure my theology allowed me to do, that was placing students around the bishops instead of with their help. That's another characteristic of transitions. We're usually in multiple transitions, and it helps to sort them out. Just how many am I in, and what's happening in each of them, and see how they're relating. that transition probably took a good 3 years, if not more, to make. And I've had to reflect on it since, of what happened then. And that is another characteristic of transitions. When you're in a transition, you're often carrying baggage from unfinished transitions of previous years, and you don't know why you're feeling a certain thing in this current transition, and what you're doing is opening another suitcase that wasn't opened from a transition a couple back. One happened after that that's kind of interesting.
Am I talking about the heart? Oh, okay. We have so many that we tried to figure out which ones we were going to tell you tonight so that we wouldn't the next time, you know, it's your turn tomorrow. But the Chicago?
The group.
Oh, okay. Excuse me. To get our clue straight here. When I left the hospice program, I left... as I said, just alluded to, that I was burned out with the work situation. And someone suggested to me that there was a book by somebody by the name of William Bridges, which I think is really a fascinating name for somebody who would write about transition. Bridges and transitions. This was in 19... he wrote it in 1980, and I read it in 1981, and it conveniently falls into six chapters. After I read it, I said, oh, this is, being an extrovert, I said, I can't not want to process this with other people. And so I had a sign-up sheet in the back of my congregation one Sunday morning, and I said, anybody who'd be interested in discussing this with me, how about coming together and let's talk about it. So 8 people signed up and we met for 6 weeks, once a week, to talk about the book. And at the end of the time, everybody thought that, well, we knew now how to make the transition that we were in, and we would do it, and that would be the end. But being in the same congregation, we arranged to have a periodic check-in with each other, and we did that for 4 years, every 6 months, and we were just astounded that the transitions that we projected that we would conclude were ones that spilled over into another one. But having a support group around who knew some of the same kinds of things to watch in the others' transitions and the stages that we were in was a very helpful element, and we hope to weave that kind of thing into part of what we're going to do this weekend too. And now you're going to...
finally, the last transition that the major one we've been involved in was 1987. We've been married 27 years, and 1987 was the first time in our relationship where I followed Ruth because of her career move. And I thought, hey, I'm liberated, I can handle that. Okay. And it's just been unbelievable to chronicle that. When I was director of placement, used to really irritate her. We'd go to a party and the bishops were asking her what I thought about something. Okay. We got to Chicago and we'd go to a party and they'd ask me what she was thinking about something. For the LSSs, okay, for the Lutheran Social Services. She had the regular paycheck, okay, and I was scrounging to find work. I had to work my own career plan on myself several times to get back to where we had been when we left St. Louis. The kids would call, they'd want to know what mom's schedule was. We didn't include that before. We have 2 sons, one's married in Tucson, the other one's in graduate school in Washington, D.C. And she was gone traveling more than I was. That was a change. So the point of that story is, if you have a significant other, it's like a guitar. You pluck one string and the other one starts vibrating. even though you may feel you're not in transition, if your significant other is, that will affect you. Ruth mentioned this book, which is the best one we know, William Bridges on Transitions, and he is still operating and doing workshops on that, but much of what we're talking about comes from him. And Bridges is the one that's described the pattern that happens in transitions. And it's a three-step process. You all see that? You start out here, and before the end comes, the best way I know to describe that, you're on kind of a plateau where you're congruent with your environment. You're congruent with your environment. That means you feel like a competent adult who is dealing with the life situation in which they find themselves. You're just sailing along, things are going pretty good. You're not too afraid of the future. You kind of are familiar with what's going on around you. As things come up during the day, during the week, during the month, during the year, you're pretty well sure you've got a pattern into which you can fit it and which will solve your problems as they come along. Then something happens here. And that can either happen inside or it can happen outside of you. Okay? It doesn't make any difference. Wherever it happens, it'll trigger the other half. If it begins inside of you, if you are going through some kind of growth spurt or some kind of internal change, different perspective on life, and the furniture in here gets moved around, you'll start wanting to move the furniture out there around. Or it can go the other way. Something happens outside. You lose your job. Okay? You can be very sure that'll start moving things around inside. So, it doesn't make any difference. It'll either happen outside or it'll happen inside, and what that does is move you into the neutral zone. And there are various terms for this neutral zone. We're calling it transition. We can call it the in-between time. Another name for it is the not yet time. And what has happened is that the old answers don't work anymore. You're feeling incongruent with your environment, and you're not sure why. A lot of things can happen during that time in between there. You may feel incompetent. Okay? I just don't know why I can't cope with this. I don't have the answers. You might feel immature. Surely someone who is 50 years old should know what they want to do with their life. Well, in career transition, we work with people 80 years old who are trying to figure out what they should be when they grow up. Okay, we all are, all the time. Okay. You're feeling, perhaps, anxiety. Because you're not feeling like you've got control of things. You may be feeling great expectation because you're moving into the unknown and it's kind of exciting. Feeling both things at the same time. You may start to feel depressed because you don't know where it's going to end. We've been at the ELCA since 87. There has been no normal times. Okay? There has not been yet one long period where everything was pretty secure. I've been through four cuts. Plus a restructure. Sometimes both at the same time. So you may feel all sorts of things in between. If you've ever read any of Gail Sheehy's stuff, her big book, her initial one's Passages, she talks about crawling around on all fours.
She had no idea what was happening. Total confusion.
You just don't know where it's going. And after a while, you move from there over to the new beginning. Okay, where you begin again to get congruent with your environment. And then what do you get to do? Okay? And you do it all over again. Now there are some interesting factors as you look at this paradigm, Bridges' paradigm here. It's not by chance that these lines don't go all the way to the top or the bottom, because part of the end time, part of the old plateau extends into the neutral zone and will continue to extend into the new beginning. Won't be the major emphasis, but it will extend all the way through, part of it. Part of the neutral zone will stay with you in the new beginning here. You'll never feel completely at ease, perhaps, until the day we die. If any of you do conflict management, you'll know that under the old concept, it used to be conflict resolution. And that meant that it was bad to have conflict in your organization, in your life, in your insides, whatever. And that was based on the old classic Platonic perfect society, where in the ideal society you get rid of conflict. And then along came Darwin and said, hey, if you want a better mouse, have competition. Okay? Between the old mouse and a new breed of mouse. Okay? And you get a synthesis, and this third mouse is better than the other two. In other words, competition and conflict produces growth. Okay? A little bit of that applies here also. Okay? There will be no growth unless you go through this, this middle period. Another very interesting fact about this neutral zone is that these are the most creative parts of our life. Because what's happening is that the blocks are being arranged in here to move into the new plateau, into the new beginning. Okay? And sometimes we feel like, well, I don't know how much growth I can take, how much learning I can take. But these are the most hopeful times. We don't feel it, but these are the most hopeful times in our life, these in-between times here. Then one last thing. Because elements of this are so uncomfortable, the majority of us, if not all of us, would prefer to do this. Go from there. Sure, I can handle marriage. Sure, I can handle having a baby. This new job's going to be a piece of cake. This move to Chicago is going to be a piece of cake. Okay? The truth is, if you skip from 1 to 3 without going through 2, you're going to come back to it in spades somewhere along the line. That doesn't mean that every transition has to be terribly traumatic. But it does mean, when you're here, let yourself be there. Don't try and rush into 3. Experience this in-between time, because you're going to need it to move on more effectively into 3. What do you all think about that paradigm? It's the best thing since classic Coke, or totally incongruent with your experience?
Makes sense.
It's really not a magic key or anything like that. It's just common sense organized to give us a framework to perceive. Dennis, before, was telling me about a book he's reading on the theory of chaos. Okay, that's what's going on to a greater or lesser degree in that second stage there.
Is
what you're saying, to enjoy it or to allow yourself to feel it?
I'm not saying enjoy it. There will be elements that you'll enjoy. There's always two sides to it. So if you're feeling, oh my goodness, it's out of control, then enjoy, allow yourself to experience the other side of that coin, which is, wow, something new is coming. There's always two sides to it. For those of us who are able to have babies, you know that extremely excited about this new birth, maybe, this new life that's coming, there's another side to it. It can be depression that comes with that. Or you get a promotion. Okay? Neat. New job, new possibilities, bigger salary. You better know there's another side to that. Experience the other side of it. And let yourself do that in those transitions. And you can pay now or pay later.
I was thinking of the biblical story of Israelites coming from Egypt and ending that chapter. Great rejoicing, moving into the neutral zone, but it wasn't long before. Well, there was the hope for promised land and all of that, but it wasn't long before they were whining and crying, let's go back.
Right.
At least it was predictable, at least we had this, at least we had that, that vacillating back and forth.
And what did Moses tell them to do?
I don't recall, but...
Call an end to it. You cannot move on to the third stage until you say goodbye to the first stage. Unless you can say goodbye here. Now that's what we do with those missionary reentry workshops. That experience overseas is going to stay with you. But if you're not going back, you're going to have to say, I am no longer in Nigeria. I am no longer in Japan. And I better understand that.
I'm thinking from a clergyman's point of view, and that exceeding difficulty that I've experienced saying goodbye to that collar business and that public exposure in front and center, preaching and da 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 da.
Yeah.
It's so appealing to say yes to every invitation to fill in here, fill in, even solicit that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
To hang on to that.
And sometimes they won't let you say goodbye.
Yeah.
Old pastor, won't you please?
Yeah. Well, you can make a real nuisance too if you sometimes in that too if you look at the handle
well.
Well, it's or of parenting or saying goodbye to parenting too. I'm thinking about our kids grow up and move away, there comes a point we say goodbye to the parenting, but I know it's always tempting to get in there and meddle around with the grandchildren and you're smiling. This and that.
I just wanted to comment, when you started with Moses, how long were the Israelites in the neutral zone?
A long time.
40 years.
Yeah, Scott.
Yeah, perhaps you're going to talk about this in some other place, but I'd love to hear you talk some about how you, my experience is that, you know, something comes to bed and suddenly you're sort of the next day thrown into a world, particularly in a work environment, change. And then you discover you haven't really done the grieving, accepting the loss, and all the kinds of things. And yet you're kind of overwhelmed by all the new stuff. How do you sort of keep it all together? What are some clues and suggestions about how you manage that? You're there, you've got to deal with it, and yet you haven't gone through the neutral zone.
We're going to talk about hints on making transitions, but I think what we want to get under our belt tonight is that the saying goodbye, you know, sometimes we have to just do a little liturgy or a formal rite. Nobody else may notice it, even. Say goodbye.
Do you know the book Praying Our Goodbyes?
No, go ahead.
Oh, that's just a woman, Catholic nun, I believe, who just put together a series of rituals
And she talks a little bit about that. That might be a helpful book for you.
There's a liturgy. Someone is doing a liturgy for ending a marriage, I believe.
Yeah.
Okay, Spraying Our Goodbyes, Joyce Ruff, R-U-P-P.
Okay, good.
Might be another.
By the way, we're not experts on transition. You all are, too. So if you have contributions like this, throw them in so we can all learn.
But we will be talking some more about your point tomorrow.
Yeah, and the other major thing is know when you're there and as time and energy allow, live it. In the midst of having to rush in, like you're saying, sometimes you don't have a choice. You have to jump from one to three.
But you may know that you're not in the new yet. Inside, you know you're not really there. Other people see you there, but you're not there yet.
Story, I think, Scott, is terribly important here. Your story. In our reentry workshops, we encourage the people to just tell their story again and again. Because they get back in the States and they try to tell somebody about it, and once they get past the snake stories and the primitive stories, people don't want to hear. And what's so helpful is to get with somebody perhaps that is living the same story or has lived the same story. Because as we tell the story, we make it our own. Like you say, you know, you're still in neutral. If you can find somebody to just tell that story to, because what you're doing is owning it every time you tell it. You own it a little more of what you're going through. Well, let's look at some of these characteristics of what it's like to be in the neutral zone. And again, I encourage you to give examples here, just so we can get some, start to think this way of what it's like to be in a transition. It's a time, as we said, of in between. Our most recent example was move up to Chicago from St. Louis, and we had to live in the Marriott hotel for 2 days with the stuff in the truck coming up sooner or later from St. Louis. Then it got there and we moved into an apartment for 4 months with the stuff unpacked while we were looking around and trying to find a new place. You're always in between in a situation like that. They ask for the address on your driver's license and where to send the mail, you know, and so your CDs catch up with you and all of that. And you feel funny giving them your address. This is, this is where we live now, but we're looking, you know. It's this in-between time. We're not in one, we're not in three. We're in transition. That's a feeling of emptiness. When we got to New Guinea, we didn't know how to drive because the steering wheel was on the other side, and then when you figured that out, you drove on the other side of the road. Then you had to learn how to drive a motorcycle. Okay? So you couldn't transport yourself from one place to another. You couldn't talk to anybody because you didn't know the language. You didn't know what a kina was, what a shilling was. You didn't even know how to pay for something. So you're empty. You feel like a little kid. You have nothing to give because you don't know how to give it. In career transition, there's nothing worse than the feeling that nobody wants your gift. You know you've got a gift. You know you've got skills to deliver. And nobody wants your gift. That's a feeling of emptiness. Okay? Almost like I have nothing to give. That's a common feeling in the neutral zone. It's a feeling of winter. Literally, We came back to the States in January, which was the middle of summer where we'd come from. Moved into this little 2x4 apartment with two boys, 4 and 5, 5 and 6. And it was the middle of winter. You couldn't go out, and it's a feeling of everything's kind of died. Everything seems bleak. If you draw a picture of a tree, it would be without the leaves. Okay? And a feeling of things have just kind of died. But it's a feeling of being in fallow ground. Feeling, again, of expectation. Okay? Soon, come spring, this is all gonna blossom. Okay? And we can identify with that in the ELCA. We were talking before about the merger.